Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
And Tukey blew him away. 96 inside corner, three pitches, and Tatis is retired.
Probably still pretty wet.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves lose the first game of a doubleheader today. They'll play again in about 5:20 or so. We'll be talking more about it, Mike. The first game, you seriously think we just could have made a run there at the end and finished the game if it wasn't seven innings?
Yeah, Betts came alive. They got to the bullpen. Paddock went five innings for them, and Mueller did not have his best stuff, but he was grinding. We've seen Mueller look better out there, but sure. Just the Braves were coming on at the end, and then game over. And then we'll go have a sippy cup and sit under a shade tree, and we'll have the second game of the doubleheader. Then mom will take you to 31 flavors. I just hate this Little League crap that they're doing, man. Now, again, the argument that some Braves fans are saying, yeah, but if you add two innings to this game, that gives you two more chances for the bullpen to screw it up. But Braves fall 3-2, and that just bums me out. Last night I was feeling so excited because Tukey did such a great job. Freddie goes yard. And you say, hey, we're going to get to 500, and we're going to keep on rolling here. But, we cannot get to 500. It's the craziest damn thing.
It is. We'll see what happens in this late game. And then, obviously, we talked about this schedule, right? Padres come in and out. And then you're heading to the Phillies. And then you got those five games with the Mets. And then we got the trade deadline. And that's really what we're looking at between now and the next, 9 or 10 days. You're never going to please everybody. We're awaiting Connor Riley from Dog Nation to join us, and we'll grab him talking about SEC Media Days. Nick Saban took the podium today, but other coaches are speaking, including Jimbo Fisher. And I just want to mention this, Mississippi State coach Mike Leach. You're never going to please everybody. He says, I personally like to see 64 teams, Mike, when it comes to the playoff. Dabo the other day just said, 12 is too much. You don't have 12 great teams. And here Mike Leach is like, I like to see 64.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I agree with Leach because we're not – I agree with Dabo, I should say. I love Mike Leach, but no way, Jose. I agree with Dabo because, yes, there might be an upset here or there and a nice story, but nobody who's a smaller school outside the top 10 from a smaller conference has the depth to go toe-to-toe with the Final Four. And the other thing is, Carl, we can't even get compelling games in the semifinals right now. That's an argument that I've made and I heard Dabo make. We talked about it yesterday. Think about Michigan State getting smoked by Bama. Think about Notre Dame's appearances when they get smoked. We have a hard time. Florida State got beat by Oregon. That was, that was the first year of it. So, I just wonder, can you actually find – everybody wants a fair and equitable, playoff, but we're still going to get the same four or five teams that have the monster programs. Ohio State, I think this year Oklahoma gets in this party. That's why I still think Georgia doesn't have a lot of wiggle room. I think Oklahoma's going to crash this thing this year.
It's their best team Lincoln Riley's had since he's been there. And remember, he's been there a while. And they made some runs. This is his best team defensively. I know you don't think people, not you, but people don't think the Big 12 plays defense. This is going to be his best team. Defensively, they're stout. I agree with you. I think Oklahoma is going to be in the Final Four. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com. Everything you guys need, man, for your home, a home automation, home theater. They can do it all, brother. Get all the details and you go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Connor Riley on the line with us on the WaitForward.com hotline. And again, brought to you by DogNation.com. Connor, it's been an interesting week. I know as we talked about Jimbo Fisher, I think is speaking as we are on the line with you, or maybe he spoke just a little bit earlier. But today everybody wanted to hear Coach Saban and what he had to say. He praised the media a lot, which Chris Goforth, who's there for our radio station as well, was saying that was interesting because he's been very, loving on the media over the last few years. But Nick Saban did talk about his success and how he has sustained it. Is Alabama, in your opinion, and we talk about the Dogs with you all the time, even with all the talent the Dogs have, are you simply just chalking up Alabama as a team to beat again in the SEC after hearing Nick Saban today?
To start the season, I mean, this team is clearly going to take a small step back, but by game 13, when they're going to be in the SEC championship game, which I expect them to be once again, it's still going to be a really, really good, really talented Alabama team. I know they lost 6 first-round picks off their team a season ago, but they just signed the greatest recruiting class in the history of modern recruiting rankings. And Nick Saban has this thing working like clockwork, and Bryce Young is going to be a really talented player, did a great job following up JT Daniels at modern-day high school. And so with all that, well, I don't think they're going to reach the same levels they did last year as far as the team, because I think last year's Alabama team was the best team he's maybe ever had. It's still going to be a really good team, and I don't mind saying I filled out my SEC media ballot today, and I picked Alabama to win the SEC championship.
Yeah, I know that we've talked about, you know, Georgia's got to be the man, and they're going to beat that man. We've used that Ric Flair quote a few times today, Connor. It's brought to you by our buddies at Dog Nation out there at Hoover, Alabama. But, Connor, you know, Alabama, we talked about the running game. I asked our man Chris Goforth earlier, does Georgia have the edge in the run game? They move on from so many big position players, but they're all 5 stars they're replacing. Both Georgia and Alabama, in essence, are the same machine, except, you know, Saban is, to be quite honest, like a god right now, the way things are rolling. So, and I don't buy A&M, but Carl and I were arguing about this earlier. Who's going to push them in the West this year?
I don't know who that team is. I think I could make a compelling case for Ole Miss with what they might be able to do defensively. LSU has a ton of high-end talent as well, but they went 5-5 last year and were lucky to go 3-7. And I know some people like A&M, but that was a team last year that relied a lot on their running game, and they have to replace 4 to 5 offensive starters. Now, their defense is going to be really good, but I think as that 2019 Georgia team showed you, if you're relying on your offensive line and defense, that's only going to get you so far, and then you're going to be the team with a capable passing attack that I think Georgia's going to have. I think Alabama's going to have that as well. And you run and you fall behind in those games, and it's just really hard to make it up. So, well, I do think Alabama takes a step back this year. I don't think LSU, Texas A&M, or even an Ole Miss are positioned well enough to really take advantage of that.
Connor, you know what I'm shocked about? When you look at the defensive numbers, and all these years we've always talked about Nick Saban being a defensive coach and how good his teams have been, they weren't great defensively. Now, they were great offensively last year. I mean, they set an SEC record scoring points, almost 50 a game. But defensively, they gave up a lot of yards, passing yards, but yet they still found themselves in the national championship. Do you think that stuff is overrated when we talk about how many yards a team gives up? Because I'm just looking at what Alabama did last year. It really didn't matter because of the way they were scoring offensively.
I think in today's college football, it's more on the defensive side of the ball. It's no longer about prevention, about not giving up big plays, about, you know, making a team drive the length of the field. That's what those Georgia defenses early on in Kirby Smart's tenure did extremely well. You need to be able to force sacks. You need to be able to force turnovers. And so Alabama was able to do that really well a season ago, and I think this Georgia defense is going to be positioned to do it as well. I just think in college football nowadays, with the way the offenses are set up and how these quarterbacks are so much more advanced than they were coming out of high school, say even 10 years ago with all the passing stuff they're doing, it's easier than ever on the offensive side of the ball, and that just makes life very difficult for these defenses.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you, Connor, about what Georgia guys had to say. Kirby, obviously, quoting Thoreau. We got that. We also heard JT Daniels. Kind of, I mean, Carl and I were a little kind of put off by how low-key he was about the Clemson game. I know you can't put too much stock into it because if you lose, it'll jack things up for the rest of the way. But guys are really buying the message already about Clemson is just another game?
I think they're so far out, obviously. I think when you ask them that the week of the game, they'll say, yeah, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. It's a, you know, potential playoff matchup. But, you know, 6 weeks, if you're grinding that message for that long, it starts to tune out when you get to that week of the game. So I understand the sort of laid-back messaging there. But that Clemson game is huge for Georgia. I think it's a great statement opportunity for them to start the season for JT Daniels to come out and play an elite defense, an elite program, and say, hey, I know there's some questions about maybe is Georgia, where are they in terms of their eliteness? But if they go out and win that game and JT Daniels plays well, any and every question I think any media member has about Georgia and what this team can do will be answered in week one. And I think that's a fantastic opportunity for Daniels and this Georgia team.
We're talking with Connor Riley, guys, brought to you by DogNation.com, your home for the best coverage on Georgia football. And Connor, by the way, tell the people where they can find you and read your stuff.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at @KConOReilly. We've had a ton of stuff about SEC Media Days. We'll have a ton of stuff in the days ahead. College football is right around the corner. I think we're six Saturdays from the start of the season, so very much looking forward to it.
What did you or what have you taken from these coaches and their responses to NIL? Everybody's got something to say about it. Nick Saban today was very adamant about it. I could be wrong about all of this. But what do you think these coaches are thinking after hearing most of them speak about NIL, name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, I think Saban's probably most closely aligned with how I feel on it. There's just so much we don't know because it's so new. And, you know, maybe even a year from now, once we see it and understand it a little bit better and how to navigate it, I think maybe this might all be overblown, or this could fundamentally change the way things are done in college football forever. I know Kirby Smart was sort of touching on it yesterday, and, you know, he mentioned that NIL is absolutely going to play a factor in recruiting. And if you're, like, say, Nick Saban, and you have a quarterback in Bryce Young who has not started a game yet but is already getting six-figure NIL deals, that's a massive recruiting advantage. So, you know, there were a lot of calls for federal legislation and federal guidelines. I do think at some point we're going to see that. How soon, I don't know. But I think, you know, Saban really hit the nail on the head, and Kirby did as well, as there's some trepidation in seeing how all of this plays out.
Yeah, I saw that article that Dennis Dodd wrote in CBS, Carl. And, again, it's Connor Riley with a saying that Kirby Smart has plenty of time to catch up to Saban. I'm not sure what planet Dennis is living on. But we've probably had this conversation every time we've talked to you, Connor. But everything in line, everything in place between the schedule, the new teams with new coaches. Josh Heupel, by the way, Carl, getting some heat from UCF fans saying that he knows how to build a program from the bottom up. He inherited a program from Scott Frost. But, I mean, point I'm getting to, though, is you're playing a lot of teams in a state of flux. So there really shouldn't be one of those old Mark Richt kind of hiccup games this year.
Right. Right. It's, you know, that Clemson game, first game of the season, which Georgia could certainly lose, but I don't think anyone's going to hold that against Georgia just given where Clemson is. It all sets up for that SEC championship game, in my opinion, most likely against Alabama. And the question is, can you win that game? Now, by game 13, Bryce Young is not going to be inexperienced. We're going to know who the playmakers on Alabama's offense are. And by that point, they'll have developed a few more first-round picks. It's just, can you make the winning plays? Because they've been so close in 2017 and 2018. And they even led at halftime of last year's game against Alabama. It's just, can you have the players that in a field with elite athletes just make the difference? Whether that's a Trayvon Walker, a Darnell Washington, and a Rick Gilbert, who a lot of people talked about this week. Can those guys make those winning plays? It's a razor-thin margin right now for Georgia, and I know you guys were talking about Oklahoma earlier. There's no difference in my mind between Georgia and Oklahoma. The only difference in recent years is that Oklahoma gets their brains beat in the first round of the playoffs, whereas right. Georgia narrowly loses in the SEC championship game. It can Georgia, against Alabama, the best team of the 21st century in college football, make those small winning plays to just overcome that thin margin.
Connor Riley, great job as always. Check him out, Dog Nation. We appreciate you stopping by, man. It's been a fun week, and things wrap up tomorrow there in Hoover. But it's always the start for me of the college football season when we get to SEC Media Days. Appreciate you stopping by, man.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Carl and Mike.
Hey, we just mentioned, you know, Oklahoma. You and I really think they're going to have a monster year this year. And Spencer Rattler was really coming into his own last year. You see this crazy story? We've got about a minute here before the break. Crazy story from the Houston Chronicle, Carl, saying that Texas and Oklahoma want in on the SEC.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, first of all, I know the reporter who wrote this story covers basically Texas and the Big 12. But so it's credible. I mean, he's not going to just put something out there. This is not some wacky website. But I don't know, you know, when we hear these things, Mike, there are always conversations about, hey, what would it take? Would you guys be interested? Those conversations always go on, right? But when you put out there, and the headline is Texas, Oklahoma reach out to SEC about joining conference, that's pretty plain cut and dry. Right. So if there's any truth to this, okay, then say goodbye to the Big 12, because these are the cash cows of the Big 12, as good as TCU is, and Baylor's been great. And then what would that mean as we see other conference shifts? It's interesting to say the least. I think there might be something there, but again, would this not happen until we expand the playoff? I mean, this is not going to happen immediately.
Right. I mean, there's so many moving parts in there, and I couldn't even imagine a 16-team conference with and how do you balance it out? I mean, my God. Anyway, if you want to read the link, it's out there. I got it up at Mike Bell ATL. Put them up, C-Dukes.
All right, man. Coming up, we got plenty more to dive into, guys, including it's going to be us. It's coming up next. It is Dukes and Bell coming up, Falcon Report. Matt Ryan, our new OC slash head coach, getting ready for training camp. Falcons report on the 27th, guys. Camp starts on the 31st. We'll talk more about it coming up at 5 o'clock. Mike, as you watched this game last night and the Milwaukee Bucks win the NBA championship, and I'm going to let you hear from Giannis because he talks about the process. And we joke around with the Sixers because that process is not working. At least it hasn't, you know, gotten them an NBA title yet. But there is a process that you have to go through. And when you feel like you're a step away, and this was the guts and the balls, okay, of Milwaukee in their front office. When they traded for Holiday, it cost them 3 first-round picks plus 2 pick swaps. A lot of people said it's way too much to give up. But they knew they were close. And so, you know, you had Middleton, and now you have Giannis, and now you go get this piece who ultimately helped you win an NBA championship. I don't care what you gave up. Now, for us here in Atlanta, we're not there yet. We aren't away, you know, at a point where we're going to give up that much, Mike, for one guy, unless you feel like we're one step away, and that's how Milwaukee felt.
Or are we? No, well, I mean, I know.
Would you, though? I mean, because that's going to inquire probably, you know, trading two of the young pieces that you think are part of this core
now. Anything, if you were going to go, because, guy, what do we get every year, every time he's been on the move, is Kawhi Leonard. We want Kawhi Leonard. Well, okay, sure. You got to give up half the team. Right? I mean, you literally would have to give up half the team. You'd have to give up Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter and John Collins, who, I mean, in a sign and trade to get a guy like, I mean, if you could make it work. I think we need some help as far as, you know, a bigger guy. And I don't know, Carl, if I'm just looking at the Eastern Conference right now. I'm saying, again, if you want to look at DeAndre Ayton, I mean, that's a guy. Look what they got there with a guy that can, you know, can play inside and outside. But I just saw us struggling and giving up too many easy points in the paint, and I don't know how we address it. I just don't want to overspend it for John Collins. I'd like to have some options. That, you know, I think that's what it comes down to. I'd like to have some options, but we're going to run out of money soon because Trey's going to get his deal, and all the other guys eventually will get theirs. But don't you also have to have sort of a – call it an audition period to prove that DeAndre and Cam can stay healthy?
Sure. This next season, and then the season after that. You know, you have time because, again, these guys are still playing under their rookie deals. You absolutely. But, you know, if God forbid next year, it'd be awful. It'd be terrible. But let's just say you continue to have these injuries with Hunter. We got to start looking at Hunter like we did with Keanu Neal. Great player. You took him in the first round, but he's not on the floor enough to help you. You have to be on the floor so I can evaluate you and say, hey, you're truly going to be a part of this thing as we move forward. Now, I'm not wishing that on him. I hope that everybody's healthy. I hope Cam is able to play and do what he did in the playoffs for us. But it's a wait and see. So, yeah, next year is big for those guys. I absolutely agree with you. As far as the process, and I think this is important for us to realize, did we want it this year? Yeah. Were we close? Yeah. But it took Giannis eight seasons. And in that eight seasons, they continued to build around him, and he stayed the course. He did not leave Milwaukee. I don't think Trey's going anywhere. I know there are idiots out there who keep saying, he's going to leave. He's not going anywhere. He understands what he means to this community, and I think he's found a home. He wants to be here. And how cool would it be to bring this organization its first championship? And you're a big part of that, or maybe the lead guy, which I think he is. Here's Giannis talking about the process for Milwaukee.
Coach Bud believed in me, told me that in order for me to win, in order for me to be great, I have to trust my teammate. You know, I have to trust my team. I have to make the right pass. You know, I cannot be stubborn, you know, and I got to trust the process. You know, and it was a three-year process, but we got it done. I want to thank all of these guys. And as I said, I've done it all on the court. I've done it all off the court. And I'm keep going. I can't stop.
I love the guy's attitude, man. Hey, and now, I don't know if Milwaukee can do it again, but hell, it's like the Saints win the Super Bowl. Once is enough, right, for a lot of those guys of that generation. 15 years they had to wait.
Well, you had what? Dads and grandfathers, right. And then their sons there last night outside the arena. It was pretty cool to see. But, yeah, man, I mean, if I told you we were going to win one, would that be enough?
Yes.
Yeah,
I am not going to get greedy. You know,
I mean, agree.
Think about, like, you know, for instance, Golden State Warriors. How many people thought Golden State was going to want, like, a 7-year run?
Poof. Yeah.
You know, with Splash Brothers banged up, the injuries, all the things that kind of conspired against them. So, I mean, yeah, you don't know. But I do, and again, we'll tip our cap. We said this yesterday because you and I both predicted, and we did put our money. Did you put some money on that? I put my money on
Pat. I told you, give me the points. Yeah,
I did. If Booker hits that last three, that guy didn't hit a three-pointer all night. That, you want to talk about a bad beat? If Milwaukee hits that last three-point shot, like a 30-footer, you would have covered the five, and then, you know, obviously the Bucks would still be the champs, but you'd have lost your bet. And, yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking. But we told you that with Scott Foster officiating, we thought this is going to be a tough night for Chris Paul. Chris Paul actually had a good night, and I think he had to have it because nobody else for the Suns wanted to shoot late in that game. It kind of got weird there. It's a little bit disconnect on the offense. But, yeah, in the first half, it looked like Giannis was going to have to go for 100 to keep them in that, didn't it?
It did. He was hot. He was carrying them. Listen to Coach Bud talk about, you know, having Giannis, because here's the reality for Bud. He already had chips. He wasn't the head coach when he was with the Spurs, right, but he was the lead assistant with Pop. But he got to coach Tim Duncan, and now he's coaching Giannis. You know, that ain't bad. I mean, you know, say all you want about Phil Jackson, but you got to have players to get it done. Here's Bud.
Giannis and Chris, you know, it's just, I think, special for me to get the opportunity to coach those two guys, the leadership that they've shown, really from day one, from having breakfast together, and you could just see their desire to be great, their desire to push this organization to where we are tonight.
Yeah, and Giannis is like in a good way, he's like a fun kid, right? We play that audio in Yeah Man, No Man, where he orders the 50 nuggets for Chick-fil-A. He's like a fun kid, man. And even in losing, I've seen him lose these last few years in the bubble where they thought everybody was, you know, they had the best record and they were supposed to win it. He's lost with grace. And speaking of that, Mike, I do want to mention the story that's out there about Monty Williams going into the Milwaukee Bucks locker room after the championship and congratulating them. We don't see enough of that. Right. We just don't in this day and age. Guys walk off the court, the floor, whatever. I know it sucks, and in the moment, nobody really wants to shake hands because you just lost your opportunity at winning a world championship. But Monty Williams, it's out there. He goes in, congratulates Giannis,
he got
the goggles on.
Yeah,
it's great.
Take a listen.
I just wanted to come and congratulate you guys as a man, as a coach. You guys deserve it, and I'm thankful for the experience. You guys made me a better coach. You made us a better team. Congratulations.
Class.
Totally class. I mean, I remember there were some times where Pat Riley would go into the other dressing room and do that. But, I mean, yeah, that was – and you hear how he's like, let everything on the floor, right? You hear that? Like, it's really hard. Sounds like Frank Pantangeli from The Godfather 2. I mean, they did, man. And that's a great run. But I think they'll be back in this mix. I think just the way we look at it, like, we can get back and continue to build. They were a very young basketball team, man. Chris Paul, though, Ryan McDonough said, is probably going to opt out.
Yeah, he'll be back. It's crazy to think you opt out that kind of money, but you give me 2 years at $60 million versus 1 year player option at 42 or whatever it's going to be. I get why he would do it. So, you know, and he said last night he's far from retiring. Here's Chris Paul on his future, because everybody was kind of saying it, but, you know, or hinting towards it, and they were like, he's not going anywhere.
Knowing that for so long you worked to get to this point, is there any solace and, hey, I've had this experience,
no,
and I can learn from it, and I might get back here?
I mean, it'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
Yeah. Scott Foster is a referee. Chris Paul, 0-13 in playoff games where he has been on the floor as an official. He was the head ref last night. So we gave you those numbers as we gave you some consumer news you could use to bet this game. Chris Paul, along with Russell Westbrook, I mean, everybody's been linked to the Lakers. How are they going to get Damian Lillard, too? But the Lakers, apparently, they want Chris Paul, and they want to get Russell Westbrook out there, and then LeBron can make another run.
Westbrook makes – does that make sense?
At this stage of his career, LeBron does need that, doesn't he?
Well, here's the thing with the Lakers, if you're not keeping up with what's going on. Dennis Schroeder, okay, turned down a deal in the middle of the season. They offered him a deal.
Free agent.
They're going to replace him. And so the point is, who are you going to do it with? CP3 and LeBron, you know they're boys. Is it better to go Westbrook? Somebody's going to end up there. So, you know, I've even heard Lonzo Ball maybe going back there. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm just – that's interesting to hear Westbrook with LeBron. But you have AD, LeBron, and Westbrook, you're all right. You're all right.
And by the way, we said this earlier, we'll say it again, but hats off to Coach Bud, because we rode him hard because, you know, there was times at the end where, you know, like remember the Dwight Howard signing was kind of kaput, and there was a lot of things when he was here that, you know, we went round and round with him about.
He didn't want Howard, though.
No.
He didn't want Howard.
Either way, the Coach Bud, got to give him credit. He's a two-time Coach of the Year, and yes, he's got a ring. That's right, Carla, Mike, suck it. Now, please, Coach Bud, we're trying to give you some props, but Coach Bud, despite some crazy things that happened in that Nets series, I still think if the Nets are 100%, they don't. The Bucks don't get past the Nets.
I don't either. But they did.
But they did.
They did it. Congratulations to Milwaukee. Hey, we got plenty more to get to. Falcon Reports on the way. But, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
The Norwegian women's handball team, Carl, refuses to wear those skimpy outfits that their Olympic committee wants them to wear.
No!
Yes, it's a terrible story. We'll talk about it. Also, Sweden kicked the U.S. women's team 7 ways to Sunday in Japan earlier today or last night or whatever it was. And also, Carl, remember the people that had that gender reveal that started a giant forest fire?
Of course.
Oh, they're in trouble. And they're going to be, well, they're going to be paying off all those houses, probably, you know, $35 a week for the rest of their lives. We'll explain. It's all coming up in Guy Talk next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, man. Hump Day Edition. Brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, Chicken Wings, and other things. Don't forget, guys, they got 3 locations around Metro Atlanta, so go get your wings on, man. They've got all these different varieties. You can get them broiled, baked. You get them naked. You can get them regular, crispy, and all sorts of good stuff, man. Chicken Wings and other things. HootsWings.com with Hey Man Ale. Hey, man, we were talking earlier in the show. We were talking with Squidbilly, and I think we got in the subject of fast food and like Chick-fil-A because of Giannis stopping by the Chick-fil-A somewhere outside Milwaukee and ordering 50. Nuggets or mini chicks, as he obviously scored 50 points last night. I meant to mention this to you yesterday. I didn't get it in. We were just obviously we're rolling. Carl, you ever do anything really funny? Use a fake name just for blanks and giggles in a restaurant reservation?
Sure.
Yesterday here at Colony Square, I go to Chick-fil-A and it was packed, and they asked you for your name, and just for blank, it just came to me in a whim. And the girl goes, "Can I have a name for your order?" I go, "Esteban." She goes, "And what's your last name?" I'm like, "How many Estebans do you get?
Yes, do you know?"
So I went Esteban G. And so, I sit there for a few minutes and everybody ordered. And there was a lot of DoorDash and mobile orders. And eventually they go, "Spicy chicken for Esteban G." And so I go, "I am Esteban." And there's two dudes that I think they work across the street. I thought they work at King and Spalding. They said they work across the street. I want to give a shout out to Jack and Jeff, because as I go and I get my chicken, this guy starts laughing. He goes, "Mike Bell, you are a trip." So anyway, they're listeners. He recognized me yesterday at Chick-fil-A. I meant to tell that story. My dad used to do it at dinner. He would make reservations using Godfather character names and stuff.
It's fun, man. I mean, I would tell you that I've actually done that, and they've called my order, and I forgot it. I used a fake name. And so they're like, you know, is Emmanuel in here? Emmanuel, your order's ready. And I'm like, where the hell is Emmanuel? And then I realized, oh, that's me. Like, I'm giving them a fake name. So, yes, it's happened, and then I've screwed it up. But it's fun, man. It's fun.
It's just something I like to do. And the guy's like, what's the G for? I'm like, Gutierrez. Esteban. I am Esteban Gutierrez. Give me my Chick-fil-A. Hey, man, you watch any of the Olympic stuff this morning? I got to be honest with you. For NBC, no people in the stands is about as uncompelling as some of the other sporting events we've watched in the last 18 months with COVID. I watched some of the Sweden versus a USA women's this morning. I'm not sure if it was on tape delay or whatever it was, but I watched it. Sweden kicked the snot out of us, and they've been one of the few teams in the world that can ever give us some trouble.
What was it, 3-0?
3-0, like, and they had this one, the two ladies, and they had long legs. And strides. You know, they're Swedish, so I'm looking at the bodies, obviously. They're not going to not look. I mean, the face was nothing special, but not that we're objectifying women. These are athletes. But the strides, they were like gazelles out there, man. They were covering like half the field in like three steps. They're beautiful, graceful, and then whoosh, putting the ball in the back of the net. So we got to regroup there. Speaking of Nordic countries, Norwegian women, Carl, they will not be objectified, Carl Dukes. The Norwegian handball players have reacted. They've been fined for not wearing the uniforms they were originally supposed to be wearing, which are bikini bottoms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a sports bra with like a bikini bottom. The sports governing body, European Handball Federation, or the EHF, has confirmed the fine, $177 per player for improper clothing. Apparently in the bronze medal game against Spain during the European Beach Handball Championships, Carl, which I didn't see on ESPN 8 The Ocho as it was broadcast live from Bulgaria. But now, obviously, they're getting ready for the Olympics. But, I mean, it's like, remember women's beach volleyball, how they literally put them in thongs a couple years ago to jazz up the TV ratings?
Of course.
Yes, how could I forget those legs went all the way up?
Yes.
But, I mean, I don't know. The Tors Lerstad and Julie Berg, two of the players, addressed the controversy on TV, saying that they received an outpouring of support from the country, and every other federation, as well as the ones making the rules, have supported us. So, I mean, they're basically wearing like bicycle shorts is what they're doing in this team European handball. You ever play team handball in gym? Do they have that in Texas?
Not team handball. I did play handball. Got into racquetball for a while when I was in college learning the game. I hadn't played racquetball. Didn't grow up with racquetball, Mike.
Well, Chris, did you ever play team handball? Because real quick, when I went to my high school's in Long Island, and the gym teacher, Mrs. Nocella, says, all right, we're going to try something. She actually sounded like just like this, Carl. We're going to try something different. Team handball, you play it on a basketball court.
Okay.
And the three-point shot, you really can't jump inside that. So you basically run with the ball and you jump and throw the thing in the net. It's actually, I mean, it's not the worst thing to play if you're looking for something else. Chris, you do that in Jersey?
Not only did I play it, I got into a fist fight senior year in gym class over a goal no-go call with a boy named Gil.
No kidding. Well, there you go. Now, I'm just saying, if you ever, it's for all the crazy sports.
Did you lose the fight?
Yeah, what happened? You squash him? Were you the same size now as you are? Were you a skinny kid?
I had about 75 pounds on him. So.
All right, crush him. Finish him.
Okay.
But anyway, the Norwegian ladies are rather attractive, but they will not be objectified, Carl, at least not when they're in Bulgaria. See what happens in Japan. Tom Brady is the latest cat to jump on the non-fungible token, Carl Dukes.
He's got an item out there. How much is he going for?
The startup. It's a startup. He's combining this with a bunch of big dogs, Lionsgate Entertainment and DraftKings. So apparently Hollywood studio Lionsgate said they will launch NFTs in conjunction with autographs tied to movies like John Wick, Twilight, The Hunger Games, Mad Men, and Dirty Dancing.
Wow.
So they're going to create, I mean, you and I have gone around and around, but what is it? What, outtakes from John Wick? Like Keanu, punching another guy in the face he wasn't supposed to. I don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to create more of these digital things, which again have a digital watermark, for lack of a better word, that makes it unique to you if you own it.
So here's my thing, though, with all that we know about the internet and hacking, and all that we fear, right? The dark web. Right. How do I know once I pay for this that there's not another copy of it out there?
That's what I said.
Seriously. I mean, I know that some of you out there are computer geniuses and this NFT stuff is all the wave of the future. But I know how much stuff I do to protect my internet and my service. And I'm just saying, all right, I'm going to pay $100,000, Mike, for something unique from Tom Brady's company. How do I know there's not another one out there?
Right.
How can you tell me that in this day and age of the internet that we're in?
Right. And the $27 million digital art piece that was sold at record in a few months. I know it's like Bitcoin. And by the way, they nailed the guy that was hacking all the famous people's Twitter accounts to pump up Bitcoin.
He was overseas, right?
Yeah, I think they got him in Spain, I read. But yeah, this is a dude from the U.S., and he was basically, he hacked President Obama, he hacked Biden, he hacked Bezos, he hacked a bunch of people. It was trying to, it was fraud for Bitcoins. Yeah, all
now,
that
if
stuff.
You know they can get hacked. You and me have forget about it.
So you mean, does that mean it buys you some time if your wife finds a phone message and you say, no, honey, that dirty text message that I sent at 3 a.m, I was hacked.
That's the excuse.
When I was talking to Destiny in Magic City.
That's the excuse.
Hacked me. Hey, real quick before we get to a closing bell, this is one of those stories we had in Guy Talk, and it would have been funny if not for tragic consequences. A couple did one of those stupid gender reveals where they had some pyrotechnics, and it got out of hand, and it started a massive inferno, which led to thousands of acres of California and Arizona burning up.
You big dummy.
Yeah. The family now, they got them. The Jimenez, Refugio Manuel Jimenez, and his wife, Angela Renee, pled not guilty to a felony charge. Wildfire allegedly started by their smoke generating pyrotechnic device that ignited dry grass about 75 miles west, or east, I should say, of L.A., San Bernardino. What happened as a result was firefighters had to respond, and one of those, like, rock star studs, smoke jumpers, a guy named Charlie Morton, died fighting the fire. So, I mean, what do? You put these people in jail for the rest of their lives?
Well, they're definitely going to have to pay restitution. There's no doubt about that. As far as the jail time, I don't know what the laws are out there, but my guess is, Mike, if you start something that turns into this tragic event, you got to pay the price.
Houses burned to the ground, et cetera.
Yeah, man. It's. I think I may have said this. You may have watched this as well. The how the Paradise Fire started out there in California. Right. And it's awful because basically, you know, in that part of the country, you're supposed to stay where you're at until law enforcement comes and tells you, hey, you know, you need to leave or you can stay. So people stayed, elderly people there. Mm. And the point is, these fires spread so rapidly. If you've never, you know, been around anything like this, I've had friends out there in California. They actually moved from California because they got tired of this stuff. But and so people stayed at home, Mike, and they were like elderly folks, and you know, they were like, oh, I'm not leaving yet. And by the time authorities were like, you've got to leave, they couldn't get out.
So, I mean, it's in the old days. I mean, like, I get it. Everyone's got to have a viral video and all this crap. In the old days, you'd hang out cigars at work with either a pink band or a blue band. Not that complicated.
It's easy.
Know what I mean? But everybody's got to be a rock star. Hey, man, let's hit the closing bell, man, see if we made any loot today on Wall Street. All right. Not bad. CSX, Texas Instruments, Vegas Sands making some loot. Dow Jones was up 286. S&P was up 35. NASDAQ was up 133. So Dow's moving up. So after Monday's blank show, we've had two good days for those of you that actually pay attention to your 401k. Someday, kids, you'll save some money. It is Uncle Mike and Carl giving you advice. Brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions, your Atlanta-based tax resolution firm. Visit AllianceTaxSolutions.com. Get the IRS off your back. Just a few birthdays, mostly famous dead people today, Carl, on the 21st. But C.C. Sabathia, the big fella. Guess he got himself a big old cookie puss for age 41. One of my favorites, Al Hrabowski, the mad Hungarian's got a birthday today, the former Braves and Cardinals closer. He had a bar in St. Louis right outside the old Busch Stadium. Really nice guy. When I was a kid, I thought he was like 8 feet tall. He's like my height. He's a short little guy, but really nice guy. David Carr, who you knew in Houston, is 42 today.
Yeah, is his brother going to be the quarterback of the Raiders is the question.
Or it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Paul Casey is 44, the golfer. Josh Hartnett, actor, was in Black Hawk Down, and then his career kind of cooled off. He's 43. Robin Williams would have been 70 today, man.
Unreal. Yeah, well, listen, talented. Mm. We don't have to tell you guys, you know, but these mental health issues and all this stuff is real, man.
And it was a chemical thing, and they could have found the balance. There's been a lot that's been documented about it. There's a 2-hour documentary on Robin Williams. It'll break your heart if you loved his movies like we do. But you know what? We can do that for Game Winner tonight. Your favorite Robin Williams movie. How's that?
He's got a ton of them.
Yeah. Write that down so I don't forget. Hey, also, Don Knotts got a nip it in the bud, Andy. Barney Fife's birthday today. Also, 3-time Oscar winner, Norman Jewison. If you don't know who he is, Thomas Crown Affair. Moonstruck, Justice for All, The Hurricane, The Heat of the Night.
Wow.
One of my favorite dystopian futuristic movies, Rollerball. 3-time Oscar nominated. He was born today. And Carl, my favorite writer, Ernest Hemingway. Papa.
Yeah. Him, isn't there a, somebody just did, was it Ken Burns who just did a documentary on him?
Yes, and he was kind of a jerk, but he had issues with the ladies, Carl. He made their lives a living hell, but they still loved him because he was Hemingway. Hey, man, there's guy talk right there.
Hey, coming up, back for his 14th season. Is he going to be on the same page as the guys he needs to be on the same page with, and how much faith do you have in him? We'll get into all of that coming up as part of the Falcon Report next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.